Hi, welcome to Mouse Chat for Friday, July 15th, 2011. I'm Lisa, and joining me today are Chris, Steve, Bob, Lauren, and joining us is former cast member Ron. Welcome, everyone. Today we will be talking about Inside the Haunted Mansion and beyond. So let's get started. What we're going to do is we've got special guest Ron. Ron is a former cast member who has worked at the different attractions in Liberty Square, Frontierland. He'll tell you all about this. But what piqued our interest was the Haunted Mansion. So we wanted to hear all kinds of good stuff about working as a cast member at the Haunted Mansion. And Chris, you're probably going to be very excited about this because this is your favorite ride attraction.
Yeah, how'd you first start at Disney and get your job over at Disney? Because I know a lot of people sometimes email us and they're like, "Hey, how do I get a job at Disney? Where do I go?"
They want to know, do you get to do exactly what you want, or do you get stuck with something? How do you get your in at Disney?
Well, when I started was in the fall of '98. I had just started going to school at the University of Central Florida on the other side of Orlando. And I had been given an annual pass as a high school graduation gift, and I was over in the parks pretty much all the time over the first quarter there before I really got to know anybody at school and would hang out there. So, me and my roommate were just seeing that they had the job fair, and we're like, well, we're at the parks all the time anyway. And we're at the point where we see somebody like looking at a map confused, we'd go up and try and help them. So we figured, we might as well get paid for it, and went to the, at the time they were advertising a job fair, and we just show up and they do the interview process, like a kind of a quick interview, and they ask, what kind of department do you want to be in? And I said, I want to do attractions. My roommate ended up going to the reservation center for a while, and so they did the interview process, and you don't really get to pick your ride so much or anything like that. They gave me a couple areas. I think one was like Fantasyland, something at the Animal Kingdom, and or the Adventureland Liberty Square area in the Magic Kingdom, and that's what I chose. And I didn't know what attraction I'd be starting at, but, I mean, those were all my favorite attractions were there, Pirates and the Mansion and the Jungle Cruise. So I figured, well, wherever I get, that should be fun. And I kind of got placed at the Tiki Room in the Treehouse first, which is, I'm sure, everybody's two favorite attractions.
The old Tiki Room.
No, it was right after the, well, I guess it's the old one now.
Well, original then.
It was the under new management. It had just been open a couple months.
Okay.
So it was kind of new and fun, and it was a good show for the first 1,000 times I saw it.
And then all the real diehard Disney fans would just punch you in the stomach as they left after they saw the new management show.
I had about once every day I was there, probably someone said, the old one was so much better. But 10 times that many people still thought it was a restaurant. And I
where's the all-you-can-eat ribs?
I'll have the chicken, please.
One of my favorite moments, I was sitting at the turnstile, or not sitting, you don't sit as a cast member, but I was standing at the turnstile up front. I was on the phone trying to help some guest contact guest services for something, and some big guy comes up. He's kind of angry. He's like, do you have a table for four? I'm like, I just, cover the receiver on the phone. Sorry, sir, this isn't a restaurant. And he's like, well, then can I see a menu? And I'm like, we don't serve food. He's like, well, what do you have to eat here? I just look him in the eye and just say,
did you look for the camera?
Roast parrot, and then just go back to my phone call and kind of ignore the guy who's suddenly gets it and walks off embarrassed.
Oh my God.
Someone's been out in the Florida sun a little too long.
Now, of all the parks, is the Magic Kingdom, I guess, that's probably the one that everybody wants to get in, who wants to work parks versus Epcot and Disney Hollywood Studios, and then Animal Kingdom.
To do like Rock and Roller Coaster or something.
I know the studios is a lot of people. You know, oh, I want to do Star Tours, or at the time, like Rock and Roller Coaster wasn't open yet. But I know Tower of Terror is still a very high seniority thing. I don't think they hire anybody straight away there.
But aren't there a couple of positions that are definitely cast? Something like Great Movie Ride and Jungle Cruise and things where you actually have to get into it, like the Tower of Terror?
Jungle Cruise at the time when I was there was actually majority of college program people.
But I think that kind of fits.
It was more of, at the time, they didn't have an air-conditioned break room either. So they just kind of put all the, you know, younger people there. And, I mean, I think they realized, like, people who they would schedule there, because the way attractions was divided in the Magic Kingdom was into lands. And as I was saying, it's Adventureland and Liberty Square are one area. It was called Mountains was the Frontierland area. And then Fantasyland and Toontown were one. And then Tomorrowland was its own. And so Adventureland, Liberty Square, because there's, aside from the Haunted Mansion, you had, you know, needed five people to man the other attractions in Liberty Square, you know, two at the Riverboat, two at the Hall of Presidents, and one breaker for each group. So you don't need a lot of people to man those. So they got put into... with Adventureland, where, you know, the Jungle Cruise had, you know, at least 20 cast members at any time on a busy day. Pirates probably had 7 or 8, depending on how, or more, depending on how busy it was. They had both queues open. So you would get moved around in those areas after, you know, I think it was like 6 months. If you were full-time, you can get trained at another ride. A year if you were part-time, and then if you were a seasonal cast member or college program, you pretty much never got cross-trained because you're not there long enough. So the Jungle Cruise people, if they were, you know, obviously weren't into it or weren't the good skippers, probably once they got cross-trained, weren't scheduled there anymore, because you wouldn't just work once you get cross-trained. You don't, I'm not just working this new ride. You get, like, one day I could be at the Tiki Room, the next day I could be at the Haunted Mansion. And so you just kind of have to keep an eye on your schedule to see how it goes there.
Okay, so Ron, tell us about the Haunted Mansion, working there specifically, and, you know, just some of the things, there's got to be some just stories and history to it and ridiculous guests and completely over the... the wall, cast members. Tell me all about the Haunted Mansion.
I think the being a cast member of the Haunted Mansion was one of the high seniority. Kind of everybody wanted to be there just because. Well, one, you don't have to smile, and you know the 10-hour, 12-hour days of smiling could get a little painful. But the other thing is, you're allowed to be snarky and.
Ooh, that's a Chris word.
You're allowed to be, you know, not rude to the guests, but you could be a little rude, you know, just different things. So it was a lot of fun to do that. But
do you think they keep that sort of demeanor up? Because I don't see that a lot. I wish, you know, I've seen it sometimes, but it seems to be kind of rare that they get a little snarky.
I think it depends on the cast member and... I guess the, you know, the mood they're in, but I always try to be as stone-faced as possible. You know, I wore shoes to make sure I didn't have any noise when I walked and try to do the whole kind of eerie, you know, butler who's resentful that he's stuck in his job for eternity.
Uh-huh. So the men are the butlers and the women are the maids, I guess.
Yeah, and okay. Those costumes were great in that Florida sun. I gotta say that.
Oh yeah.
But at least sometimes you could rotate in.
Yeah, the only really outside position was the greeter position. You know, the first person you come to at the front of the queue, you know, who moves the strollers, answers questions. And other than that, you're pretty much inside the whole time. There were two cast members doing the stretching rooms, two cast members on that front load belt, usually one or two cast members at the unload, depending on, you know, how busy we are, if we had that second stretch room or that second unload person who might not even be a position anymore because that was mainly to deal with wheelchairs but when they used to go in through the back door. But now that they've redesigned everything, I don't know if they go through, if that position's even still there. But the stretch room was my favorite position to work because that's where you kind of have to do the most of the acting.
Mm-hmm.
And you're allowed to, you know, just be gloomy, mean, yell at people to get into the room. Well, actually, I heard, and I didn't see them doing it when I was there a couple weeks ago, that they're not supposed to tell people that their bodies are wretched anymore, that they got, that they're trying to be a little more politically correct about it. But I can't see, you know, that being part of the ride anymore. But I, there was no script for it either. You just, you know, these are the lines that most people say, drag your wretched bodies. Like the Jungle Cruise has a 20 something page script you have to memorize before you're allowed to, you know, work. And the Tiki Room had, you know, just a few paragraphs for that opening spiel, but you didn't have to do any of that for the mansion. You just, you know, had to get the point across of get away from the walls, get into the center.
Yeah. And you probably pick up lines from, yeah, other cast members that have been there and tweak them a little.
Drag your wretched bodies to the dead center of the room was pretty much the standard. I mean, it might even be in the, it might have been in the training materials, but it wasn't like something you had to like, well, it's only one line, so I guess they're not going to, you know, do a script test on that one.
Now, at night when the attraction closes, do you get to walk the attraction at night or?
Yeah, you you have to do a walkthrough of the attraction. The cars are off, but all the animatronics are still on because most of them are the older style, like pneumatic animatronics, as opposed to the newer, like hydraulic ones. So there's less wear and tear to keep them running 24 hours than to start them and stop them. Or at least that's what maintenance told me.
That's disturbing. I don't know. There's something about it being closed and they're just sort of still going that makes it sound kind of eerie. Is the noise still going or not?
No, we have control to mute that.
Okay.
I mean, all you hear is the like hissing and clicking of the air and stuff like that. But like you just walk through. Actually, I was walking through closing one night and you just see the little facade of the mansion in front. But I mean, I guess most people realize there's a big building behind that. But I don't realize, think people realize these are like Walmart-sized buildings that these rides are housed in. So given the position, the Haunted Mansion and Small World back up to each other with a small alley between them.
Wow.
So the audio control room for both rides is actually in the mansion's basement area.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm walking through the mansion one night, and apparently the engineers started playing around, and I'm walking through the mansion, and this Small World audio comes on.
How funny.
Oh, my God.
Slightly creepy, too, but...
Yeah. Did you ever get spooked? I have to say, I'm the kind of person, I get scared, and I get a little spooked in there, even though I know it's all fake. Did you ever get a little scared, just a tiny bit, when you were by yourself?
I think the only time I was just walking through, and I forgot that I was walking near one of the pop-up ghosts.
Oh, gosh.
And I was sitting there just, I was talking to the other cast member I'm walking through, because one walks on either side of the track when you go through. And I'm just talking, and the thing just popped up behind me and startled me. But that was the closest, I'd say, to getting scared. I mean, the mansion's not actually haunted. Pirates of the Caribbean is, but the mansion's not.
No, you know, I've heard that about Pirates of the Caribbean and you know, George the ghost.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, supposedly haunting pirates. And if you say his name and you know, the ride will suddenly break down or stop. And people have reported weird things.
Well, and what about the fact that people dump ashes, supposedly, and, you know, their cremains in both of those attractions?
That's creepy.
Yeah.
It is creepy.
An interesting thing, when I was there, the mansion didn't even have security cameras inside.
Okay.
They have them now, so listeners, they will see what you're doing.
It is a felony in Florida. Just, yeah.
But at the time, we only had the pressure pads that would run on the sides of the track so we could tell if somebody got off, which made it really fun if, you know, some teenagers jumped off and then you'd have to chase them through the graveyard scene.
Oh, my gosh. Did that ever happen?
I only had to chase one group of kids through, and they got to the exit before I got there. So they went out through one of the emergency exits, and I couldn't find them backstage. So I don't know what happened to them. But once they were out of the ride, they couldn't get back in. So my priority was, you know, start the ride back up.
Now, wouldn't – I mean, it looks like some of that is kind of delicate. Could they ruin things if they were walking through there?
Most of it is behind, like, scrims or different areas. But
okay.
Especially in the graveyard scene, I think I'll get into the – a little more if once I like we talk about the story of the ride, but yeah, all the most everything in the graveyard scene is behind like a screen, so it gives that, you know, ghostly effect. But there was one you know, emergency exit in there that you really can't see. I mean, the sign's lit up, but it's when your car's tilted the other way, so it's behind you, so you can't see that the sign's there. But they got out that way and probably just ran back into one of the entrances by Small World or something like that.
Now, when you say there are screens up, so there's like the stuff is all behind the screen is what you're saying?
Yeah. I guess in theater they're called scrims, those kind of screens. That's for the graveyard scene. I mean, the attic scene, I think you could actually have gotten into the whole set. There's obviously glass protecting the ballroom. But most of the other scenes, I'd say, were open.
Speaking of the ballroom, I'd like you to tell everyone how that actually works.
Oh, I don't know if I want to know.
Oh, really?
Go ahead.
Like, to spoil the magic, or?
Maybe. I mean, that's my favorite scene and my favorite attraction. Go ahead.
It's actually an old, old effect from, like, the late 1800s magicians would use called Pepper's Ghost. What it is there is a large sheet of glass between, you know, the actual ballroom and where the cars are going. And the animatronics are either above or below you in the track. So they're lit up so they reflect off the glass and appear that they're in that room. So they appear like as two-dimensional ghosts floating in that room, but like if you go into the ballroom, there's nothing in there. It's just the set.
Yeah, so it's similar to like if you're driving in your car and you put something on the dash of your car and you see the reflection in your front mirror and you're in the glass.
And the ballroom scene was one of the ones the few scenes we usually walk through because the cast members and Imagineers were in a war over one of the hidden Mickeys in the ride.
Oh, yeah. The plates.
The last place setting is now I think they've actually given it up and WDI has made it a real hidden Mickey. Because if you would walk through there, if you'd lift up any of the dinner plates, there was a Polaroid of what that place setting is supposed to look like. So if they had to do any work, they can make that place setting look exactly like it did. The last place setting was one whenever a cast member would walk through, they'd move one of the like bread plates over so it formed the Mickey. But anytime anybody from Imagineering would come through, they'd come by and fix it so it looked like the Polaroid. But from my understanding is they officially just changed it. So when they did like the hidden Mickey pin set, it could be one of them because it was such a famous one.
That's interesting. So it wasn't a true, you know, it wasn't originally placed there by Imagineers.
No, and Imagineers do come by and change things and don't tell operations about it. Like, I was actually, might have been one of the first people to see the Madame Leota tombstone. Was the one that blinks at you in the graveyard. I'm opening the mansion one day and I, you know, go out the front door and I'm just checking the area in front of the foyer. And I look over and I'm like, oh, cool, there's a new Madame Leota tombstone and I'm just staring at it. Actually, this is the one moment I probably really freaked out. It blinked at me, and I just jumped backwards, and I ran into the breaker. I'm like, did anybody else see this thing out front? and I think it had only been there a day or two at that point. If any of the cast had even noticed it, I guess that was the, you know, precursor to the whole new giant interactive queue, which is kind of cool.
Have you seen that?
Yeah. What's your thoughts on the interactive queue? Is it some people think it, you know, does it ruin it, or is it something cool that adds to the Haunted Mansion and helps explain the story? Or
I think it just confused. I mean, the problem with the Haunted Mansion is there is no real story because it was in development since 1951 and opened in 1969. So there's been so many versions of the story that they've all been kind of jumbled together. But it does play homage to one of the original. The Sea Captain was one of the original, I'm trying to remember the Imagineer's name. I think it's Ken Anderson, who was the original scriptwriter. One of his original versions was Captain Gore, him and his wife were the residents of the mansion, and he was marrying this young woman, and she had discovered that he was actually a pirate. And I think it was Bluebeard was the pirate they were using. And well, when she found out about his secret, so he either walled her up or drowned her at sea. And her ghost was the first ghost of the mansion and began to taunt him till he hung himself. So he would be the hanging ghost in the stretching room. I mean, that's the like original version of the story combined with stuff that came later. That's not the one I would tell guests when they came up. The one I would tell was what I was taught in my training, but nothing was actually official. Everything is from all these little bits of different Imagineers who designed, you know, the 17 different versions or how many ever there were of the mansion. I mean, the mansion was originally, even going back to when they were going to build Disneyland just across from the studios in Burbank. I think it was in Burbank. But when they were just going to build the little park across the street from the studios, the mansion was originally there. And it went through every version of Disneyland. So, you know, at one point it was the House on the Hill, which would have came off of Center Street on Main Street. You would just walk up that to the, what Walt wanted to do was a walkthrough attraction because they didn't really have the ride technology at the time. And it just went through version after version of Captain Gore, Bloodmere Manor. At one point it was supposed to be based off of the Lonesome Ghosts cartoon or the Headless Horseman. And it went through all these different versions until Pirates opened, and they put you know, the creative team from that onto the mansion, and they took parts of the different stories that have been worked on so far, and that's the mansion we ended up with. But the story I would tell guests who would ask is that the mansion belonged to Master Gracie, who lived in the Hudson Valley area of New York. And he was a rich man who was also a pirate who would prowl the rivers and the Long Island Sound area under the name of Bluebeard. And he would had this tendency, he would marry these young rich women, and after a short time, he would kill them and take their fortunes. And you could see one of the tombs as you exit mentions the seven wives, and it says the six names and gets to, and Lucretia did him in was the final one on there. And so he went through these six wives and finally fell madly in love with this young woman named Lucretia. And he was going to give up the piracy. He was going to settle down and do all that. But his private psychic and advisor, Madame Leota, really advised against this because she wanted control over Gracie. She didn't want this woman to come in and ruin this whole scheme Leota had to, you know, manipulate Gracie until he died alone and she could take his fortune. So on the night of their wedding, they're having a they're playing games at the reception, and apparently they're playing hide and go seek. And Lucretia decides she's going to go hide in a trunk in the attic. Leota follows her and locks the trunk so she can't get out, and she suffocates inside, the bride. And, you know, they nobody can find her, and, you know, Gracie searches the mansion and, you know, finally finds her in the trunk. But he now wants to find out how did she get locked in there. And he orders his men to start searching for the missing attic key. And if you actually walk through what used to be the hallway where we the back door hallway that would actually pass the cast member break room, it's a fully themed hallway. It was still like an area we can get guests through. The attic key is missing from the row of keys. All the others are there. He finds the key in Leota's pockets and has her beheaded. So now he's distraught. He decides to have this the funeral instead of, you know, continuing with the wedding celebrations. And as they load her coffin into the hearse, the horse just takes off the second the coffin's in. And no one's fast enough to catch it, but when they finally find it, the horse is missing and the coffin and body are missing, and that's the hearse you see outside now is exactly how it was found. Distraught, Master Gracie takes the wedding, Lucretia's wedding ring in his hand and throws it and stomps it into the ground in front of the mansion, walks inside and hangs himself. And his death and the other deaths draw in the energy of all the other ghosts of all the people he may have killed as a pirate, and just all the other ghosts in the area have come and just joined them in the mansion. So that's a background story I would tell. And the story of the ride itself, when you're on it, is a little more solid and not quite as grabbed from all these different places. Is you're coming into the mansion, and you know, you get on, once you get into the you know, Master Gracie introduces himself as a ghost host, and you do the stretching, the stretch room, and then you load onto the ride. Now, as you get on the ride, the first part you see, you don't see any ghosts, you only see the evidence, the moving busts, the eyes following you, the doors creaking, and you don't actually see anything more than shadows until you get to the seance, where Madame Leota's spirit brings all the other spirits to you, and then you start to see the ballroom scene where all the ghosts are that Pepper's ghost, the two-dimensional style, and you can see them. Just flat images. But then you get to the attic where you encounter... This is the old version, I have to say, before they did the upgrades in 2007, where you would still encounter the bride who was angry that the living have come into her area. So she actually pushes you out the attic window and you fall backwards into the graveyard where you die. So Mr. Toad's... Wow. Ride was not the only original ride that you died on. So you fall backwards into the graveyard where the caretaker is there with his dog. He's not frightened by all the other ghosts. He's frightened by you. As you continue on, now that you're one of the ghosts, you notice all the ghosts around you aren't flat anymore. They're all three-dimensional. And you could actually see them. And as you leave, you get to the hitchhiking ghosts who actually hitchhike out in your body. Oh. So that's the actual story that's on the ride, at least when I was there. I believe they've changed it now that instead of Leota killing the bride was actually also out to just kill Gracie and take his money. So she killed Gracie, and Leota is the new version, but everything else, I believe, is still supposedly the same.
I think I like the old version better. And I have to say that adds a lot. During my next time I go through there, I'm really going to enjoy it even more.
Right. And, you know, before it was just a ride, and it's like, oh.
Yeah.
But that's neat.
I knew bits and pieces of it, but I didn't know, like, about being pushed out the window. That's so neat.
I had heard that. Yeah, I had heard you are pushed out the window, and that's why the guy walking his dog is so afraid, because you're a ghost.
I didn't know
and
that.
And that's why the ride turns backwards, supposedly. It's
right. So that's your falling.
Supposed to be, like, falling. You falling out the window.
That is so fun. That's going to just add so much. Thank you.
And the actual story of the ride was actually official, and that was, you know, something they, you know, that's in the manuals. But, like, the background story gets passed down from trainer to cast member as it goes through, because parts of that story weren't there original. Like, the hearse was added, I think, in the 90s, and the original ring was actually just a stanchion to hold up, you know, one of the cue ropes that was, you know, cut down. So there was a round ring that someone tried to pry out with a screwdriver, and the tip of the screwdriver broke off. So there's just a round ring with a little metal nub on one part of it that looked like a wedding ring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Keep going.
But when they redid the queue, they put the ring in. So it's actually by, I believe, the sea captain's crypt now. So you could see.
Okay.
So that's Imagineering.
I had heard that so many people were looking for the ring, you know, and asking, where's the ring, where's the ring? So that's interesting that they would put it back.
Right, the old one was I didn't see it last time I was there. I was told they removed it when they put the new one in, but it was right when you come outside of the exit and the cement changes from, I think, kind of like a tiled area by the mausoleum,
right,
to the concrete right in front. And it was maybe a half inch like outside diameter, so the woman had to have the smallest fingers ever to get this ring on, but it was there, and people would come. I think every day I was there, someone asked me for it.
And so where's the new one now?
Somewhere near the sea captain, which they brought back from. He was originally one of the pictures of the, I think they called them the Sinister 11, the pictures in the Disneyland version originally. And when you would walk to the Doom Buggies, they were there. And they moved, I think those pictures are now in the load area. Since the refurb. So the Sea Captain story continued on through the ride as well.
I was going to say, no, having ridden both at Disneyland and Disney World, I have to say Disney World, I think, is way better. I think it's just themed better. And aside from Disneyland, does seem to have these really cool trees inside, like in their graveyard area that look, I don't know, they're just really neat. That I don't think Disney World has. But overall, I think Disney World's theming is much, much better.
Right, and originally they did the theming, you know, ours in Disney World is themed to a Gothic mansion in the Hudson Valley, as opposed to the, like, Antebellum mansion in the New Orleans area. Originally they decided to do that because they just thought, you know, Orlando was too close to New Orleans, it wasn't that exotic. So they figured the Northeast was more foreign to people who lived in Florida, so that's why that change was done.
Can you tell us about something really outrageous that happened to you while you were working there? Like, did something, you know, just like
crazy
guests. Some crazy guests or something like that.
There were plenty of ridiculous guests, actually.
No shortage of that.
My two favorite incidents. The first one I came in right at the very end of this. And it was at the very end of the unload speed ramp where you're getting off.
Right.
I think everybody's familiar with the cars go one way and, you know, you walk out the exit to the left. Well, the wall that divides them looks just like the brick that's everywhere else in there. But so many people just trip on the end of that speed ramp because they fall there. And because that wall is there, people would fall and hit that wall. So what Disney did is they covered the end of that wall with foam and painted it to look like the brick. So you really can't tell it's foam, but if you hit it, it's nice and soft.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, I was told half of this, but I came in to see the aftermath, and I'll tell you where I came in then. But about 15 or 16-year-old kid trips at the very end and hits the foam wall. And he thinks he's discovered something really cool. So he turns to his two friends he's with and says, "Hey, guys, check this out," and runs headfirst into the opposite wall, which is solid brick.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's the Darwin Award right there.
Yeah, that's a 15-year-old boy.
He knocked himself out cold. Oh. I got there just as the ambulance was giving him smelling salts.
Oh, poor kid.
Oh. Was it a kid?
It was like a 15-year-old kid.
Okay.
And it was just like, really? I missed this?
Poor guy.
My other favorite story happened there, but it started, I was actually working in stretch room one. And
wait a minute, there's more than one stretching room?
There are two stretching rooms.
Chris!
I didn't know that.
Really?
No.
That's why, that's why the doors always open, you know, on either one side or the other when you walk through. Okay, yeah. That's okay.
And they're completely automated, so we don't have any control over the doors opening and closing. It's just every 90 seconds, one of the other ones goes.
I did not know.
I thought that was kind of...
I didn't know that either.
I hate to say common knowledge, but I did think it was common knowledge for, you know, a serious Disney goer. And no insult to anyone, but I just thought that.
So I'm working in stretch room one, and my manager comes in and says, "Hey, we're going to hold stretch room two for a little bit. John Travolta's coming through with, he's got a decent sized party and we don't want him being crowded around." And, you know, normally when you have an A-list celebrity, they're given a little special treatment. Sometimes they pay for it. Sometimes if they're really recognizable, I think Disney would just give it to them just because they don't want the crowd disturbance that, you know, John Travolta just walking around the park by himself would cause. So I don't know if it was one of the ones he paid for the guide or whatever, but he's coming through and goes into stretch room two. And just as I'm walking out of stretch room one, I see the door closing to two, and he runs up to the cast member who's inside and just waving his arms going, "Booga, booga, 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 boo," trying to like scare the cast member who's in there. I forgot who it was, but she just doesn't blink because people do this to us all the time. So he just kind of tried to scare her. So the bump in the rotation of the ride comes through. You don't stay at the same position too long. You know, usually about 15 minutes in each spot. So the rotation comes through and I get placed at the unload ramp, you know, at the very end of that speed ramp at the exit. And I'm just doing my normal thing, waving people in and just doing the very droll farewell bodies right this way. Rest in peace. And about 8 minutes comes by, and I see an empty group of cars, so I know, okay, Travolta's probably in the next group. I see him coming up, and I'm just, you know, doing my normal thing. My manager is standing behind the little dividing wall there that is part of separates the ramp from the walkway next to it. My manager's there. The tour guide's there, and the security host who's following them around is also there. So as Travolta's getting off, I'm at the very end of the speed ramp, he just gets right in my face and is like, "Farewell," and then he hits the end of the speed ramp and goes down. It doesn't quite flat on his face, but he just catches himself right before the ground. And, like, we just, like, me and, like, my manager and the other cast members look at each other like, "Did that just happen?" And he doesn't say it. Travolta doesn't say anything. He just dusts himself up and just walks out the hallway.
So he was just sort of goofing around saying farewell, and he just tripped, and he doesn't say anything at all.
He was just trying to mock me, and down he went.
Wow. Well.
The speed ramps there.
Well, you're not allowed to do any kind of gawking or any kind of interaction or acknowledgement of a celebrity. They're a guest just like everyone else. They don't want any special treatment. You'll be fired on the spot if you do anything. So, you know, you got to stay in character and, you know, there's not much you can do.
Yeah. I mean, there are certain celebrities who, I never had this occur to me, but I've seen him in the parks and other cast members said that they've experienced. It was Drew Carey was working for ABC at the time. So he'd actually come to the parks a lot. because some of his friends that he used to come up with improv were actually the performers at the Adventurers Club. So he would spend some time in the parks, and apparently he would come to the parks with other improv guys, and they would pick characters to play for themselves for the day and just go around and mess with cast members.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I never experienced this, but I've heard a couple people who, you know, there was actually, there's a cast member who's still there at the Haunted Mansion who's been there since opening day, Ms. Jo. I think she works the Haunted Mansion and the Hall of Presidents most of the time, but she's still there. And there's plenty of other cast members who, in that area, especially those two rides, who have been there for years and years. And they said, yeah, they had, it was, I think, Ryan Stiles and Drew Carey came up to them and just played characters trying to mess with the cast members.
I have a question. So at a certain point, does it sort of become sensory overload? Because
sitting in the Tiki Room could give you sensory overload, because sometimes you'd be in there 3-4 shows in a row if someone took lunch or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And I also heard they don't turn the audio off on It's a Small World. So like if you were cleaning in there at night,
mm-hmm.
that would just, I mean, do they turn the audio off in the Tiki Room?
Well, the Tiki Room's set to run, you hit a button and it runs the show.
So does it turn off at night, though?
It turns off as soon as the show's over. And then you have to just restart it for the next show. I actually found out what happened to the Tiki Room and why it closed last time I was down there.
I mean, we knew it caught fire, but we didn't know any of the details.
Right. I actually, spoke to some, I actually spent almost an hour just sitting chatting to cast members at the Magic Carpets, who, it's the same rotation of rides as a Tiki Room because there's, not a high staff level for any of those. So I'm sitting there talking to them, and apparently one of the Iagos just had a quick short, which set off the sprinkler system. And the fire didn't cause much damage. It was the sprinkler system ruined all the new animatronics like Iago and Zazu and Aoa, because those are much more sophisticated and much newer. And apparently Zazu was completely ruined.
Wow.
I think that was fate.
Yeah, a lot of people were glad to hear that.
That's kind of funny.
So many people hated that.
Yeah, I like the old one so much better.
Well, and it's coming, it's back already, or like soon? No,
I think soon, August?
August 16th was the last date I heard.
Okay.
And that was from some of that same cast member, so.
Ooh, while we're there.
Oh, you're right. So how long do you get down to Disney World? How often do you get down there?
As long as I lived in Florida, I had at least the seasonal pass.
Mm-hmm.
But since I moved to Boston in 2005, I just made my first trip down there 2 weeks ago.
And
yeah, it was a nice busy trip, 6 days straight in the parks. I still get to Florida a lot, but my family is all in Miami. So that kind of takes up my time.
Now, when you, being gone away that long, was it kind of amazing to go back?
I could probably count on one hand attractions that hadn't changed something.
Wow.
I mean, the queue, even the treehouse, the queue, where I would work, the queue was, there's no real queue because no one queues up for it. But
right. The
little entryway, the fence was gone. They moved the turnstile. The magic carpets, they added a second safety console. Pirates, I hadn't seen any of the Johnny Depp stuff. The mansion was a big change. Splash and Thunder seemed to be the same, but all of Tomorrowland was completely different. Maybe not the Astro Orbiter. I think they even shortened, did some track work when they had to take down Toontown on the. So, I mean, everything was so, so different. The last time I was there before this trip was right after Soarin' opened. So that gives you... This was my first time on Everest, was this ride. Or was this trip. So that was something great to see.
You got to see the Disco Yeti.
Actually, the Disco thing wasn't even going on. You could barely see the Yeti at all. It was like in D mode, not even B mode.
So a friend of mine is a hardcore Disney nerd, and he's a blogger. And he's got a friend who works at the Haunted Mansion. He's a butler there. And they apparently do this flashlight tour. Now, have you ever done that? And do you know anything about that?
I never gave one, and none of them were anything official as far as I knew.
Right. They're supposed to be like, you know, you've got to catch them on the right night, basically.
Yeah. And I think, I know I never gave one, but I know like a few people who would like, if you asked at closing, near closing, and there was a spare cast member, like they had that unload two position still, and they would let that cast member, you know, ride through with you if they had this time and could hold off, you know, 20 cars.
Right.
To do it. But the only time I've ever seen anything close to an official one was one of my friends had gone from being an attractions cast member in our area to being a guest relations host. And he was doing the tours, and he was the only time I've ever seen like a, we would call them the plaids from guest relations,
mm-hmm.
give the tour. So it's not anything official, and it's really going to vary depending on who gives it. But yeah, I've definitely seen those happen.
I am so excited to go back now, because I really do think this is going to add something. I wish someone would go ahead and write a book. That's what I really would like to see. Like something like the story that you told, maybe both stories, I think would be really interesting to read.
They really botched that on the movie completely, I think.
Yeah, the movie's good, though. The movie's actually a little scary.
That's going to wrap it up for this week's show. Thank you to PixieVacations.com for sponsoring the podcast. You can download our shows at mousechat.net and also from iTunes. Please send us your comments and questions to comments@mousechat.net. Join us again here next week on Mouse Chat.